Good morning, beautiful people.
Good morning.
Oh, so good to see so many of you here this morning. Reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, the whole thing. The Spirit clearly says that in times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. Have nothing to do with the godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach those things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve it, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
All right. Sounds like everybody found something to talk about. That's excellent. We have the privilege today of Mark Huang sharing in the sermon. Thank you, Mark. I'm just going to pray for you before you start. Jesus, we thank you for what you have to say to us today, and I pray that our hearts are open, and we pray that you bless Mark with everything he needs to say what is on your heart. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hello? Am I on? Am I on? Okay. Good morning. Morena, my name is Mark, as Tabea introduced. I'm a deacon of the church, and today it's such a privilege to be sharing God's word with you. And also a special welcome to students from Natawa, your Wano, and your teachers. And I understand that among you there are many students from the city of Tokyo, from Japan, staying with Natawa, so welcome you all too. Right, again, my name is Mark. I'm married to my wife, Carol. I have three kids, and I have been fellowshipping at this church. Today, I am going to talk you through some important and exciting topic. As Tabea said earlier, we are into the season of Lent. Season of the Lent is 40 days, not including Sundays, leading up to Easter. And during this time, Jesus is inviting us to go deeper into Him. Jesus is inviting us to walk closely with Him. And so, during this time, our diocese put through a sermon series, and we've been following that. And if you love movies or you love TV series, sometimes as the series goes on, it gives you a little recap as to what happens prior to that, so you know what's going on there. So I'm going to give you a quick recap as what we have learned. So this is week four. In week one, we talk about Jesus is inviting us to walk with him. Jesus inviting us, calling us to be his disciple. And in week two, we talk about spiritual formation, who we are. We are formed through the environment and our upbringing. That includes our habits. It includes our relationship with our friends, with our families, with our teachers, with everyone. It involves the stories we've been told and what we believe. And the environment that also shapes us to be who we are. So over time and through experiences, we are who we are. We are what we believe. All right? And Jesus has called us to follow him, wherever we are and who we are. Now, today, we're going to talk about a topic called spiritual practice. We are looking at the ways that help us to grow closer to Jesus, to live and live more like him. Now, spiritual practice, I'm going to write it down here. I'm going to utilize the whiteboard, practice. Spiritual practices. Now, it's very similar to what we all practice during the day. Now, as we have many students among us, you are students at Natawa. You learn and put things into practice, right? So outside the classroom, of course, in the classroom, you learn a lot of knowledge from your teachers. Outside the classroom, I suppose you do a lot of sports and music. All right? Can I see your hands, those sports person? All right. What sort of sports do you do at school? Athletics, right? Badminton, yeah. Sorry?
Hockey?
Cricket, right. Very good. And netball, I presume? Tennis?
Yeah.
All the sports, all the fun stuff. Right. Dance. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So all those disciplines, we think about it. We practice, right? We practice for a purpose. What is the purpose? To be good at it. To win the matches, right? To be a good team member. So when the ball comes to you, you know how to catch, you know how to pass, all right? So we practice for a purpose when you're doing sport. And we have musicians among us too, other than our brilliant musical team. Do we have musicians? Hands up. Okay. What music do you play? Instrument?
The bass.
The bass?
Drums.
Singing?
Guitar.
The
keyboard.
Right, guitar, keyboard. Fantastic. Well, the list goes on and on. Very talented bunch at your school. So music. You practice music, right? For what? Some people practice music for enjoyment. Some people practice music so you can pass your next grade. We practice music so we can perform well in a band. We can win the chamber music, which is coming up next term, I suppose, and or do well at the concert. So we practice those things for a purpose. The same as spiritual practice, okay? So we talk about all those practices, either sport or music or anything, all right? Now, the same as spiritual practice, it's for a purpose. What is the purpose of spiritual practice? Spiritual practice, we all love definition, okay? So when we have a definition, we have better understanding what we're talking about. So spiritual practice or discipline is based on the lifestyle of Jesus that create time and space for us to access the presence and power of the Spirit, and in doing so, be transformed from the inside out, all right? In a simple form, spiritual practice help us to draw closer to Jesus to be more like Jesus. You ask, why do we want to be more like Jesus? Who is this dude Jesus? Why do we need to be more like him? He's the guy who walked on the surface of earth 2,000 years ago. Why is he still relevant? Now, when we look at Jesus, when we look through the scripture, Jesus' life is full of love, mercy, and compassion. And Jesus' life demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit. Anyone know the fruit of the Spirit? No? Some of us know? Do the students know? Right. Some of you do, some of you don't. Okay, so those who know, call out, what are they?
Love.
Joy. Okay, stop there. Who wants to be more loving like Jesus? I think I need to be more loving like Jesus. Who wants to have more joy in their life? I think I need more joy. Love, joy.
Peace.
Who wants to live in peace with one another? We all do, right? Peace and?
Patience.
Who loves hanging out with people with no patience? I don't. So if your friend wants you to be patient, they want you to be patient as well. Patience and? Kindness? Goodness?
Self-control.
So I need to be more kind. I want more goodness in my life. Self-control. Who likes hanging out with a friend who has no self-control? He always ate a whole box of chocolate. Leave long for me. All right? And I think we skip one. Faithfulness. Who wants to be in a relationship that based on faithfulness? We want that. We crave for that. So if this is the life Jesus lives, by drawing closer to Jesus, to be like Jesus, can you imagine how much better the world is going to be like? Imagine all your friends are loving, kind, patient, all that. They're going to bring so much joy to your life, won't it? And the same one, likewise, if you can be that sort of person, your friend, your family is going to benefit from it. And your teachers will love you too. They love you regardless anyway. So here is the purpose of spiritual practice is to make us our life, you know, to be like Jesus, to be more loving like Jesus. So that is the purpose of spiritual practice. Now, what are the practices? When we read through the scripture, we see Jesus regularly practice some practices to live. And those things, if Jesus practiced a lot of things, he's also calling us to learn like him. So here, I will list a few practices that Jesus regularly do throughout the scripture. So what are they? They are Sabbath. Sabbath. In a Jewish time, it's a day that's set aside to rest, to worship God, to not work. So if we can set aside time just to relax each other's company, just to enjoy life and not worry about things, that's refreshing to our soul, isn't it? So it deliberately slows us down in our very fast-paced society. So Jesus practices that. In Jesus' time, people sit aside a whole day to do it. Another one is scripture. The word of God. And the prayer. Some people say the scripture of God, the Bible, is like God's love story to us. And when we pray to God, it's like our talking to God. So by dwelling in the scripture, by praying, we are hanging out with God, spending time, listening to him, and talking to him. And that draws us closer. There are other solitude. Jesus regularly practiced solitude. That is, he withdraw from the crowd, find a quiet space to pray, to meditate, to spend time with his Father. And we all need that sort of time to ourselves, to meditate, to rest, and to relax, and to just slow down a bit. And that's good for our soul. And Jesus also regularly practicing fasting. All right? And the fasting, and the scientists, you know, found that the doctors find is actually beneficial to our physical body from time to time. Of course, for those who are able, you know, there are some people who can't fast for some reason. And it put aside the time to, again, draw closer to God, to read His Word. And there's another thing Jesus does a lot is, generosity. Jesus is very generous with His time. Jesus is generous with His resource. Whoever somebody comes to Jesus, Jesus, please heal me. Please, Jesus, help me. Jesus always has time for them. Jesus is very generous. And Jesus spent a lot of time in the community. Let's move that somewhere. All right, community. And service. Jesus spent a lot of his time in the community serving people with compassion, with love. And the last one, witness. As believers, we are called to witness, to share with others about our faith, about what's working well in our life. So witness. Now, but it must be said, there are many, many other things that can become a spiritual discipline if we offer it up to God as a channel of grace. All right, so spiritual practice is not limited to that, but these are the things that we observe. Jesus does a lot. And if we want to draw closer to Jesus, to be like Him, to be more loving, Jesus is inviting us to practice them. But as I said, there are many, many other things that can become a spiritual discipline if we offer it up as a channel of grace. It could be our daily, day-to-day things. For example, looking for a restless child in the evening, or supporting a friend who's sick. Well, when you're doing that, we are being generous with our time. So by practicing that, we are becoming more like Jesus. And Jesus, the Bible also said, do not just take interest in your own business, but look after each other as well. So these are the practices and many, many more. Now, there are three things we need to know about spiritual practice. All right, three things, very important things we need to know about spiritual practice. Number one, the practices are not a measure of spiritual maturity. Not a measure of spiritual maturity. Of spiritual maturity. So the question is not how often we go to church, how often we read the Bible, or how long is our prayer? But the question is, how loving are we? It's measured by how loving are we? How kind are we? So it's not a measure of spiritual maturity, and spiritual practices are not a form of spiritual merit. It's not a spiritual merit. We are not doing this to earn God's favor. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He loves you as who you are. And the scripture says, each of us is wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God. Each of you, each of us is valuable in the sight of God. So we are not doing that to earn God's favor. All right? But we are there to draw closer to Jesus, to be more loving like Him. That is our ultimate goal. Now, number three, spiritual practice is are the means to an end. To an end. All right? So spiritual practice is not something we practice for the sake of doing it. It's not about, oh, I need to read the Bible because I have to. I need to pray because I have to. I need to fast because I have to. It's not. It's a means to the end of what? To be like Jesus, to be more loving like Him. So if all these are new to you, I'm very excited for you because there's so much room to grow, so much room to grow. Now, just, you know, always come back to, you know, what we already know well. Sports, music, we're already doing a lot of that. And there's many other things we all practice in our life, all right? Some people practice, I want to run. You know, a lot of my friends from my work, they are going to run a marathon or half marathon in Hawke's Bay, I think it's in May. So they are all training for that. And hopefully, I think one day I might give it a go as well. But if you ask me to run a marathon today, there's no way I'll just collapse on the road. It needs training, all right? Just like musicians, learn to play the piano. Start from the basic. First of all, what is the difference between black key to the white key? Start with that. Then you learn what is C, what is D. Then you learn the scale. Then you learn the chord. And then you can put a piece of music together. It started from that. So, the suggestion is if you want to take on a spiritual practice, if something resonates with you, think, well, yes, today I'm going to start being generous. I'm going to start by doing, service to others. But you say, Jesus, you're doing so much. You know, your standard is so high. I can't be like you. But start with the basic. Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You can't do that. I can't do that. But you can start by making some bakings for your neighbor who is sick, or making a baking to your friends who look, but upset. Be generous. Start with the basic. So there are 4 points. I think number one is to, we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. Our focus is, just like when you are doing all your practice, the focus is to do well in your chamber music, is to do well for your next sports match. Our focus is to be like Jesus, to be more loving and kind like Jesus. And then we start small. Start something small that's achievable. All right? You might say, okay, every day I'm going to set aside 5 minutes, read some scripture, just 5 minutes. Or every day I'm going to talk to Jesus. So Jesus, good morning, Jesus. Start with that. All right? And then be consistent. All right? The way to grow is always that consistency, isn't it? Now, there is a piano performer. He said, if I didn't practice one day, I notice it. If I didn't practice for 2 days, my critic notices it. If I didn't practice for 3 days, my audience notices. So a way is to be consistent in order to grow. And then you can build on it. All right, today is 5 minutes, tomorrow could be 6 minutes, and then this could be 8 minutes. But don't be upset. There could be sometimes, like one of my child is very much into gym. All right, he's inspired by his cousin. He's quite a solid build. He said, I want to go to gym and train and like my cousin. He was, a couple of years old, he's quite slim, quite skinny. And his goal is, I'm going to bulk up. I'm going to put on 12 kg. That was his goal. So every now and then, I go to gym with him. He would go and, do the push, do the whatever he does. Of course, he can. At the beginning, he only do 5 kg. All right, start with that, 5 kg, and then he gradually move out to 6 kg, to 8 kg, to 10 kg, to 12 kg. But this one day, he say, "Dad, I don't know what happened. Last week I can do 12 kg, but today I can only do 10." I said, "That's all right. That's life. Life is not this way. Sometimes it goes up and down a bit, and that is okay. As long as we are consistent with our training, as long as the overall trend is this way, that is okay. So when you started, sometimes you notice there's a dip. Don't be upset. Don't be too hard on yourself. All right. But the thing is, be consistent. Don't lose the focus. All right. If you have the right focus, it gives you the right inspiration, and you will go for it." Now, we have just read a scripture. There's one thing I forgot to do. Ask you to share with each other what stood out to you. And it's all right. I'll do that for you. Now, what I want you to... what stood out to me in those scripture is in verse 7. Verse 8, it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Godliness, it's from here. And that carries higher value than your physical form. So in this scripture, it's actually Paul writing to his young friend Timothy. He's teaching him and training him to be a future leader. So here, Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging him to focus on godliness and to train yourself, to put into practice what Paul has taught him, with the ultimate goal to be loving like Jesus. And in verse 12, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So the good news is, we are not too young, we are not too old to start any of these. God sees you, God loves you as who you are, where you are. He's calling you and I to draw close to Him because He's got so much for us. His love is so big, so great for us. Jesus loved you so much that He died on the cross for you, even when we are all still sinners. So today I pray that as we go from here, that some of these will encourage us to press deeper into Jesus. And now my pray is that as we go from here, we can all stuck into it, and may the Lord gradually transform us from the inside out to live and love like Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, You come to this world, You set us an example. And Lord, You said, "You're the love, you're the way, You're the truth, You're the life." And You said that You come here to give us a life so we can have life to the full. And Lord Jesus, you also said, you're the true vine, we're the branches. If we abide in you, we'll bear many fruits. And the fruit we have just talked about earlier, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those fruit. Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we just pray you walk alongside us, give us strength, and help us to be transformed from the inside out as we keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks so much.